We begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the divine love that holds all things together. Amen. I welcome you to this Ash Wednesday service, our noon service. It's really good to see so many of you here in person again. And thank you for everyone who's joining us online. We send love to you and feel your well wishes back. Just a reminder and encouragement, if you haven't done so already, to check out the exceptional resource called The Art of Lent by Sister Wendy Beckett. It's a lovely book. We started it today. The Ash Wednesday image was an image of a wave crashing down. A beautiful image and very profound reflection for each day. Brief, profound reflection. I encourage you to treat yourself to this book, The Art of Lent by Wendy Beckett. It's my and our daily meditation for the season of Lent. Also, just a reminder, we have the Lux Divina on Friday evenings during Lent, Friday at 7 here in the sanctuary. It will also be broadcast live, but it's a very meaningful way to deepen your Lenten journey and anchor it in community every Friday night. There'll be Eucharist, centering prayer, candlelight, silence, and reading. No homily. There's a lot going on in the world today, and we anchor ourselves in the love of God's presence in this community. And I would like to begin with the prayer and invite you just to breathe in into your body and take the prayer in as a wish for our service today. God of our journeys, your ways are with us, so patient and merciful. You draw light from darkness, honey from rocks, water from desert, manna from night dew, fire from ashes, peace from violence, and life from tomb. Draw out in each of us this Lenten journey, the sweetness of love, and the attraction to wisdom, and the gentleness of spirit. May the weary ashes of our lives be lit once again by the fire of your presence. And so we dedicate this service to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear.
And we enter into the silence of God for 10 minutes of centering prayer, wherein we consent to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. A reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2. Yet even now, oracle of the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps God will again relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offering and libation for the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elderly, gather the children, even infants nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her bridal tent. Between the porch and the altar, let the priest weep. Let the ministers of the Lord weep and say, Spare your people, Lord. Do not let your heritage become a disgrace, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, "Where is your God?" A reading from Matthew, chapter 6. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. May these readings nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
We are beginning our Lenten journeys today as a community and as individuals, and I suspect that means different things to each of us. What is your Lenten journey? What is our Lenten journey? It begins on Ash Wednesday. All around the world, Christians everywhere are celebrating Ash Wednesday. You know, the Eastern churches celebrate Christmas a different day than we do in the West. But when it comes to Easter, everyone celebrates Easter on the same day because it's always hinged to the Jewish Passover, which happens the first full moon of the month of Nisan or April. So all around the world today, Christians in the Eastern Orthodox traditions, in the Western traditions, North and South, people are beginning the Lenten journey, and we join that tradition today as a community and as individuals. The theme for our journey through Lent is an embodied Lent. That's my wish for the theme, an embodied Lent, that this Lent oftentimes is one of the few places throughout the church year where we focus on the body because we're practicing some sort of fasting, perhaps almsgiving, perhaps we're taking on a practice that we don't normally do. Many of us are letting go of things. Many of us are taking on things. All these are appropriate expressions for coming into a deeper intention for this season as we move into Holy Week. And the earth in the Northern Hemisphere cooperates in teaching us this lesson of waiting and hoping for a new life to birth forth through the winter. It's more accentuated the farther north you go, that it's still winter and barren and dark and fruitless. But as we move into the spring, this gift of new life is demonstrated. So Lent is so many things to each of us, and today I want to just focus a little bit on the notion of ashes and connect it to the theme of death. I've learned from Robert McFarlane recently, who's a beautiful author of The Natural World, that to be human means to bury. To be human means to bury. We are a building species for sure, but more than anything, first of all, we are a burying species. We bury our dead, and then we return to our dead. It's a very unique thing that these human animals do. Among all the animals, we bury our dead and return to our dead. You know, the word humanitas, where we get humanity from in Latin, it comes from the root word humato, which means to bury. So the very heart of the word humanity is to bury. We are a burying people. That's how they named us versus the animals. We bury our dead, and we return to our dead. The interesting thing about the word humano is that its root is humus. And humus is where we get the word earth and ground and soil and ash from. To return to the humus is to return to the humility of coming from the earth and remembering we come from the earth and return to the earth, which is what we're doing on Ash Wednesday. We're really just reminding ourselves with this ash and smudge that no matter how high our buildings may go and how vast our building may imprint the solar system or cosmos with spacecrafts, we are a burying people and we are marked by death. Even crypto technology, not crypto, but cryotechnology, only prolongs death at the hope of some sort of promise of coming back to life. But it's a frozen life, not a life that's warm. The heart's not beating when you're frozen. It's the suspended animation of death. I would think it would be horrible. I'd rather just die and die consciously. Whether humans 100,000 years ago in dark caves were burying their dead and returning to them season after season in the migratory patterns. They found caves with little children buried in them. And the tenderness of these burial sites is so profound because they don't just place the baby's bones, the infant's bones, in the ossuary or in the little cave niche. They do something else. They find that they bury and snuggle in with that baby's bones, the bones of wings of birds and other sacred animals, jaw bones, teeth, but most of all, feathers. And the novelist Paul Claudel says that we do not have wings to fly and take flight, but we do have the choice to fall to the ground. We may not have wings to fly and escape, but we do have the courage to choose to fall to the ground and die consciously, to die beautifully, to die well. I think this is what the spiritual traditions are telling us, to die before we die, to learn how to let go, to learn how to not be so identified with the way things are, and resisting what could be and being mean about what isn't, and we wish it would be, to soften our hearts so that as we age, we welcome death and all of the weakness that leads up to death. And this is a spiritual practice. There is no question about it. Death is all around us right now. And some people say that we're here to feed the moon. I don't know anything about that, really. But I like to ponder that maybe we're here to feed the sun. And that the sun is something of our great destiny and possibility. And the truth about this earth is that everything on this planet, every little element, every little particle, every little physical ounce of matter, every little thing at the deepest level of reality, every mountain, every elemental form on this planet, every human being is here because stars exploded and formed dust and formed planets. And whatever you make of our history and the story of our becoming, it seems to be quite clear scientifically that we come from the sun, and that this is a part of our possibility of developing. And so we're here to feed the sun just as much as we're here to feed the moon. And I think in the end, we're not just the ash of the earth, we're the light of the world. And that is the opportunity for us to become sons of God, sons and daughters of God, who realize that death is like emptiness, not void, but a space by which we journey through, like a doorway. And though I have not had a near-death experience, many people have, And though I'm not inviting death, and though I wish to live a full, flourishing life, full of joy and vibrancy and goodness and fruitfulness for a very long time to come, I also know that I am a buried man, buried and dead with Christ, to rise with Christ. On that spiritual dimension, I'm already dead and made life again by the Spirit of God. That's what our Lenten journey is for, to remind us that no matter how high our lives might soar on this planet, building your life and all that you can be, we are also a burying species. And with Christ we're buried, and with Christ we rise. On the spiritual dimension, it's really quite profound. And I trust that each of us will come to a deeper understanding and appreciation and experience of this reality, to live dead to sin and alive to Christ, to live dead to the lies of separation and sleep and alive and awake in Christ, in God, in love, in the Son. You've heard what I've had to say. Take a moment now in the silence and take with you a truth or an idea that has landed in your heart for your journey through this Lent 2022. In the shadow of war and suffering, we stand for the truth of love that unites all people. And we dedicate our Lenten journeys to the awakening of being more and more for the Son. Amen. We come to the practice of ashing, marking our foreheads with ash, embodying what we just have been talking about. Marianne will be serving the ash on this side, and I'll be serving the ash on this side. I invite you to come forward when you're ready, as you're ready, just to come forward and receive the ash. I encourage you to just take a gesture of surrender, however you wish to embrace the ashes, but we will mark your foreheads with ash mixed with a little olive oil. And so I invite Marianne to come forward as we just dedicate these ashes, that they would be a symbol on our bodies that we are living an embodied Lent this year, and that we would have a most meaningful sunward Lent. Amen. So whenever you're ready, feel free to come forward. Marianne, from dust you come, to dust you shall return. Remember who you are and what you are becoming. Let's stand and conclude our worship with the benediction. I invite you to just extend your hands outward with an energetic flow. Spirit of God, we wish to have an embodied Lent. May this service serve the beginning of this wish and our journey to Easter morning. Thank you for your presence. Amen.